Welcome to On the Frontline, the Safety Learning and Operations Podcast. My name is Dr. Gina Anderson, and I am the CEO and co-founder of Luma Brighter Learning. Luma helps the transportation and logistics industry save lives through our award-winning connected learning platform, because we believe that we are connected, and when you are, you can reduce risk, spark change, and learn with purpose. And that is why we are celebrating the people designing better outcomes for those who move our industries. Stick around to the end of the show and we'll reveal how you could be our next guest to be celebrated in about 15 to 20 minutes. Let's go. Hi everyone, and I'm so excited today to have such an amazing guest with me. I'm not sure if you know Tom Johnson, but he is the safety manager at Kaiser Management, and he's been there for over 12 years. But if you know this, yesterday was World Kindness Day, and Tom posted about being kind. And it's one of the many, many things that I know about Tom and all the goodness that he brings to the industry is he's always spreading kindness and he supports all of his people. And I am so excited to honor him today. Thank you so much, Tom, for joining me. I'm so happy to have you on my podcast. Can you introduce yourself and tell everyone what leading from the front line means to you?
Sure. I appreciate you having me on the podcast. Like I said, I'm honored. So I've been actually in the transportation industry for about probably almost 30 years now.
Wow.
I started off as a driver recruiter and such, and now I'm actually in safety and such. And, for me, leading from the front line, there's actually two facets when it comes, a lot of times when people think of safety. It's either they want you to be the safety cop, or they want you basically to kind of look the other way and stuff. A true safety person, really, they when it comes to safety, it's more about the kindness, the caring stuff. You have to be able to care for your employees and your teams. One of the things that we've won numerous awards through the National Safety Council over the last few years and such. And I always tell everybody, it's not my win. It's you guys. I'm here to support you in any way you can, but it's up to them to really want to be, safe and such. And, when it comes to, my door is always open to anybody that wants to stop in and chat with me and stuff. I mean, you got to know who you're working with, and really truly care about them. I think I get some of that actually, because I know the story about me, but I'm also a caregiver for my wife who has myotonic dystrophy. And I not only care for her well-being, but I also want to care for my team and the rest of my coworkers and such to make sure they can get home to their families safe. So that's really, to me, what leading from the front line is just caring for your people and making sure that they're, well cared for. Because when you do that, people are going to work safe. They're going to want to work safe. I've heard a lot of statistics lately about even like just caregiving in general. There's a lot of people that, we don't know what somebody's going through a lot of times. So there's a lot of people that are, they could be caregivers, or they could be having, their child may be sick at home or something like that. So to go and automatically assume somebody's not performing well or there's something else going on, we have to really understand them and get to know them as a person. So
absolutely. I mean, the whole thing, like, you never know. Like, when I met you the first time, I didn't know that you were a caregiver. I mean, how would I know that by looking at you? And you didn't know I was a caregiver. You wouldn't know that by looking at me. So it's one of those things that we just have to have that empathy to know that not every day is a perfect day. I mean, people are going through things and hurdles in their life that just may have come out of nowhere, or maybe they've been dealing with it for a long time. So I love that you are that type of person that has an open door and really listens and understands your people, because you can feel it. Like when you're in a room with you, or you're talking to you, or interacting with you. I mean, you know that because that's the type of leader you are and the person you are. And I love that so much. And there needs to be more times in this world, you all. So thank you so much for doing all of that. I know it's not an easy job to be a caregiver, but you know, we do it and it's something you would never trade in, right? So I love that so much. So thank you.
Yeah, I know my wife, she always tells me that, you know, it's like, hey, you know, it's like, you're my rock. But, you know, really, it's just, I want to do it. It's not that, you know, out of obligation on that. It's like, I want to do it. You know, it's like she's, you know, in the same way when it comes to safety and stuff, you know, these, you know, you get to know your people and stuff. They, you know, well, obviously we got to keep a little bit of distance sometimes in certain roles and stuff like that, but they do become friends and such. Yeah. So it's like, you know, we want them to be successful in whatever they're doing and go home safe.
Yeah, absolutely. Since you've been in this industry for, you said 35 years or 30 some years?
Roughly about 30 years. Yeah, I started about mid-90s, actually. So.
Wow. So you probably have a lot of ideas of what we should redesign. If we could pick one thing, Tom, to redesign in this industry, what would you redesign and what do you think it would impact?
And I know there's a lot of companies that are starting to change a little bit, but I think the home time situation when it comes to drivers, I think is very lacking. You know, it's like, I mean, I know by the end of the week, usually I'm exhausted and such. And that's one reason why I do like to sit down with my drivers and just let them just have a chat with them and stuff, just to let them decompress a little bit. Cause I mean, it's, I've seen what's out on the road, unfortunately.
It's, yeah.
It's fun. And they have to do it every day. They're out there and such. And so, you know, it's to have just the one day for every 2 weeks or whatever. It's just not enough to decompress and such. And, you know, and, you know, the fact that also with the supporting them mentally, you know, it's a lonely job, you know, and I've had people before that are like, oh yeah, such and such driver comes in, they want to talk all the time and stuff, you know.
I want to talk all the time.
I mean, let them talk. It's like, you know, they don't get the opportunity, you know, and stuff to do that, you know, and be around others and such, you know, on a daily basis. I mean, yeah, there's some that obviously they enjoy that, but others, you know, it's a job for them, but, you know, we got to support them too, you know, by helping making sure that they're, you know, taken care of mentally and then that they're able to get the home time to spend with their families and such, you know, and to be able to do, I hear a lot of times from drivers, you know, it's like, oh yeah, I'm going to go home, you know, I'm going to do, you know, get the honeydews, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of hard to do, you know, to really relax. When all you're doing is spending time in your home, basically just getting that stuff done. So just that would be what I would probably change is just giving them a little more time to decompress and to just enjoy being off.
Right.
Out of the truck.
Exactly. Yeah. They need quiet time. They have a lot of quiet time, but really that mental health is so important to find really their true value and how they can live that when they are off. Because when they're on the road, they could have a lot of negativity or negative thinking. And so I love that you support their mental health. What do you think that leading from the front line teaches us about humanity?
You know, again, going back to the kindness thing, it's like, I think, you know, it teaches us how to be kind. You know, you have to, you know, I've seen good leadership and I've seen bad leadership over the years and such. And, you know, and some of the best leaders, I think, are the ones that, you know, allow their employees basically to thrive and to be able to take. And, you know, I mean, people make mistakes. You know, sometimes we have to let our employees, you know, make those mistakes to learn and such, you know, and to be able to make those independent decisions and such. I'm one of those type of people I've always enjoyed. I like to let my manager know what's going on, but I also like to have that independence so that I you know, kind of work and such, you know, and stuff. So I think it's just that kindness, basically supporting our employees in any way and stuff. And I just posted on another site, I was posting about kindness too on a safety forum. And so we were going back and forth in the discussion and we were talking about, and like, you know, it's like, just the story, even of the be kind sign that you gave me.
Aww.
I thought that was so wonderful that Rich's mother, you know, basically she took scraps, basically any type of scraps, basically, you know, it didn't matter what type, like, and she made something beautiful on it, you know, and stuff. And I think that's where I think supporting, you know, where we can, you know, using our employees' strengths in the areas they're good at. They might not be good in this area here, but maybe they'd work in this area here, mm-hmm. you know, and such. And I think that's mm-hmm. where leading from the front line, you know, really, and that's where the lesson is, just finding what our strengths are in terms of our teams and mm-hmm. use them to our advantage, mm-hmm. you know, and stuff. I think sometimes it's so easy to get caught up in the day-to-day business, but that some managers and some leaders forget that, you know, it's like, hey, you got to determine what your team's like before you can take, and, you know, it's no different than a sports team.
Right.
You have to know what everybody's strengths are and put them in the right position to be able to take and win the game.
Absolutely. Well, you're the slam dunk. I will say you are the slam dunk. So I love that. You know, so many leaders don't think that. It's like, this is your job. You better be doing it, but really putting them where they're going to thrive, you know, and learning never ends. So giving them opportunities to find new things that they can thrive in and opportunities for them to grow, I think is so powerful. So thank you for doing that.
It was actually one time I was a logistics coordinator. Yeah, that was not the good fit for me. And it led me into safety. I've been in safety ever since. So.
Oh, yeah. New opportunities. We all need them. Exactly. It's great. Has there been a time at your organization where some innovation kind of sprouted in like an unexpected place? Have you seen anything like that?
You know, I don't know if it was necessarily innovation, but, you know, when COVID hit, you know, we have locations, basically, we have four different locations and we're kind of structured. We have 150 employees, but they're scattered between 7 to 8 companies.
Wow.
And so between those four locations and such, really we have kind of a central leadership mm-hmm. for all those companies and all those locations. So like I'm the safety manager for all the companies and such. So when COVID hit, it really, you know, made it hard for any of us to take and travel between locations mm-hmm. and see everybody. And so, you know, we were kind of always come before that where, you know, technology, we were a little afraid of technology and such. And I think, you know, obviously it's nice to still have that face-to-face connection mm-hmm. and stuff, but we really embraced it finally to where like Zoom even, I mean that we use Microsoft Teams, but it allowed us to still see each other and still operate and, you know, and communicate with each other and such, you know, even though we couldn't mm-hmm. travel between locations and such, they kind of, and so I think that's where kind of mm-hmm. we kind of stepped up a little bit in terms of mm-hmm. realizing, hey, you know, this is nothing to be afraid of. Mm-hmm. You know, we still have to have eventually, you know, and when COVID kind of moved on, we actually, you know, kind of we were able to travel more stuff, but we're still a lot of times still keeping utilizing that technology mm-hmm. For our benefit as a company.
That's awesome. Yeah, really, you know, nothing replaces being with somebody, but still seeing each other still can bring a smile to your face. So I love that. And I even like turning on videos and calls because you get to see people. I'm, you know, being remote, you know, you can really tell a lot from a person's voice, but that human connection still can be present. I love that. So 10 years from now, Tom, what do you want people to remember about you? What do you want your legacy to be? With all the kindness and goodness that you do in the industry, what do you want people to remember 10 years from now?
You know, I just hope that they realize that, yeah, I had the, you know, I really did have my heart in what I do and stuff. I mean, I told my supervisor before, like when it comes to when we did a review and they sat down with me and such, you know, it's like, you know, it's like, I have always looked at myself as the fix it person. You know, when it comes to, you know, it's like, and that's probably one of the hardest things I've had to grasp over the years with my wife's condition. And then even here is I've had to realize that I can't fix everything. Mm-hmm. But you know, I hope that down the road that the people realize that, you know, they carry on that tradition of, you know, caring for everybody and, you know, and looking out for each other and stuff, you know, and that's one of the things I hope I aspire with my, you know, coworkers is, you know, to look out for each other.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's like we all want to take and we all, it's easy to get busy at work and stuff like that, but mm-hmm. you know, we really have to watch out for each other and stuff. And, you know, and I'm hoping that you know, that carries on with everybody down the road, even after I'm be here for a long time, but down the road.
Right. Well, you know what? I started my podcast for that very reason, because I don't know if you know much about pelicans, but they actually take care of each other. And I live in Charleston, and they, if you watch a pelican, they live in groups, and they care for each other and they do teamwork. And so today I am honoring you with my Pelican Award, and I don't have it here with me, but this is what it looks like. It's a little glass pelican, and your name is on it because you're a star, is right there. You will get the Pelican Award because I wanted to create this award for leadership that doesn't always get the spotlight. But Tom, you move mountains just the same. And I know that you're not the loudest voice in the room, and you don't chase applause or titles, but just like you do for your wife, you show up again and again for others. And I created this because I wanted to honor quiet heroes in our industry that lead with the heart and who carry the weight of others, and you don't ask anything in return. So, and the reason, like I said, I chose the pelican because they thrive and when they hunt in groups. So next time you're in Charleston, you have to check that out. They don't thrive in isolation, but through community and connection, and they represent teamwork and the balance between giving and receiving. So today, Tom, I want to honor you with the Pelican Award because you embody all of these traits, and you see the strength in others, and you always lift them higher, and you always give without ego, and you don't always lead from the front, but within your community. And I see that, and I feel it, and I know it. And your work might not make the headlines of, you know, a big newspaper or anything like that, but your impact, it's lasting, it's personal, and it's powerful. So thank you, Tom, so much for the way you move people forward quietly and purposely, and for the community that you've built at Kaiser and beyond, and for the balance that you bring and the lives that you've changed just by being you. I'm so proud to know you. Thank you so much for all that you do. Why don't you leave us today with some lasting words of advice, and maybe where if someone wants to reach out to you because they want to get to know you better, or they want that support, where can they find you?
Yeah. Well, again, I am so honored, Dr. Gina, like I said, that is awesome. I love the story behind it and stuff. I always love something that has a story behind it and such. So it's like, yeah, I'm just blown away. Really, I just encourage everybody to just, you know, take the time to try that, you know, and it's not always easy to do. I know it's there's, as I've kind of, you know, shared before, there's a lot of noise in the world that's not good. And, you know, but it's just, you know, the fact that even with the Be Kind signs, you know, it became a habit for making those and such, you know, and stuff, you know, and if we just make it a habit of just one nice thing a day, you know, it can really change somebody's outlook, because who knows what somebody is going through and such. So, you know, if anybody ever wants to reach out to me, you know, I'm a very shy person. So it's tough for me in person sometimes to really, you know, initiate. But, you know, I'm always still trying to grow my network, you know, and just get to know more people and such. So I'm on LinkedIn under Thomas Johnston, my full name. Otherwise, they can always email me at t.johnston@keizerco.com, which is my work email and such, you know. But yeah, reach out to me. I'd love to get to know new folks and such. I mean, like I said, it's, you know, I've kind of, one thing I've learned, you know, in the caregiving side is it's hard to take and really interact with others and such, because you can get so focused on that, and even the safety side and such. So, you know, just I've been trying to make a big focus this year of trying to just get out there more and to get to know folks more and such, you know, and, you know, because that's what it is. Like you've said before, it's those connections.
It is connections. I appreciate that. Thank you so much, Tom, for all you do. And Thank you, everyone who listened today. We look forward to more Pelican Awards on my podcast for awesome leaders who are leading from the front line. Until next time, we'll see you.
Thank you.
Dr. Gina Anderson here. Thank you so much for listening to On the Frontline, the Safety Learning and Operations podcast. If you are a successful director, VP, or C-level executive, and you're solving some of the toughest challenges in training, engagement, and risk reduction, we would love to have you on this show. Please visit podcast@learningwithgina.com and apply to be a guest. If you got something out of this interview, would you share the episode for me on social media? Just do a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend, or just post it on your social media channels. If you know someone that would be a great guest, tag them on social media and let them know about the show. And use the hashtag on the front line. I love seeing your posts and guest suggestions. It means so much to me. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content, so make sure you don't miss an episode and go ahead and hit subscribe if you like it. Your thumbs up, ratings, and review go a long way to help promote my show, and it means a lot to me and my team. You want to know more? Go to our website, learningwithgina.com or lumabrighterlearning.com, and follow me on LinkedIn and Instagram. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time.